I'm thankful to see good energy levels left at the end of the day. I guess I probably should not have questioned that, but I do wonder what our absorption rate is at the end of the day. So let's pray about that. Our God and our Father, we're thankful for this privilege to be together. We recognize that we are a very privileged people, not only with what we enjoy spiritually, but physical blessings and being together with other young people like this. So ask for help for the short word tonight. And we know it's been a long day, Lord, but we know that your word is fresh and powerful. So we ask that there would be a word and an encouragement to the audience as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'll be reading from a number of different verses tonight, and I'm not expecting you to follow along because of how selective I'm using some of these verses. But I'd like to start off with a question, and this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, just the first sentence. First question, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? Probably some people would consider me to still be young, but I remember when I was young. I remember having feelings of being image conscious. Many of us have feelings about being image conscious. So do we look on things after the outward appearance? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. The last part of the verse is the only part I want to read. That ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. And I want to be clear at the beginning. My subject tonight is not addressed to those that are lost. But if someone is here and they're not yet saved, I have a word right now, and if we're left here, I'll have something to connect it at the end. But if you're not saved, the subject tonight really doesn't apply to you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. These are not my words. This is the word of God. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if we have a problem or we have a concern about being image conscious, is that a matter of our heart? You know, under the Old Testament, if a man sinned, do you think everybody knew when they sinned? As complex and as big as the law is, I don't think I would have known every time I sinned. So I think it's fair to say probably some of those people had to go to the law or they had to go to someone and say, I did this, was that a mistake? And they would realize they made a mistake. And what did they have to do? Keep reading. And you've got to go get some blood. You have to make a sacrifice. Something has to happen. When God sent His Son to this earth, did He want to deal with man on outward things? Or did He want to deal with the root of where everything was coming from? He wanted to deal with the root. He wanted to deal with the motives of man. And to make this be more plain, more clear, I want to speak to those who already know the Lord. And when I use the term motive, spirit, and attitude, I'm trying to connect all three of those things. Because we might say that all of those things are the signals that come from our heart or from our mind, and they cause us to do things. They are the signal that make us behave or do certain things. True story. Many years ago, before I was married, probably about 20 years ago, I wanted to build a new home. So I hired a general contractor. And we agreed to build a new home, and I was pretty intrigued with this man. He was a very talented person, not a Christian person, very talented, very interesting person to talk to. And he started building a home for me, and everything went well from beginning to end. That part's not really relevant. But he was a hunter, and being a hunter, he was very trained and in tune with guns, and he liked to shoot guns. So because I was his customer, he said to me one day, I'm part of a shooting club. So we go shoot sporting clays once a week. Me and some of my friends, we have this club. and because you're my customer, I'm wondering if you'd be interested in that. Of course I was interested in that. I grew up shooting everything I could when I was a kid. So we go shooting, and I really enjoy it. And I will quickly add that while I enjoyed it, it never meant more to me than what it should. And what I mean by that is it did not replace something else that was much more important. The sporting clays never got in the way of anything. More time went by, got married, moved to Arizona, and I have this really nice shotgun that's sitting in the closet. And one day, maybe 3-4 years ago, my wife came to me and she said, "So, I need some ideas about Christmas or your birthday. Like, tell me some things. What do you want?" I said, "Well, you know, I've got a nice shotgun, but I've always really kind of wanted a handgun." And she said, "Okay, I'm good with that. Just, you understand, there are so many options. You're going to have to tell me exactly what you want." And that was a nice conversation to have. And I said, "Yeah, I'll get back to you about that. I'll figure that out." But there's a little problem going inside me in that conversation. I started thinking about that shotgun, and I thought, what am I thinking? I got a shotgun, and because the way I use my time has changed so much from how it was, that thing's been in the closet. I've gotten it out, and I've like checked it out, but I haven't been shooting for a long time. Why do I really want a handgun? And I thought about it some more, and I thought, you know what? I have a wife. I have two daughters, and one of the reasons I really want a handgun is because I want to protect them if anybody ever breaks into my home. And I thought about that for a little bit, and I thought, does that make any sense? Has our home ever been broken into? No. Have our neighbors' homes ever been broken into? No. Do we live in a neighborhood where that should happen? No. I realized I had a problem. I wanted a handgun because I was intrigued with them, but there was a bigger issue. I wanted a handgun because I had trouble with a motive. And what I realized is that if I had been given that handgun probably would not have gone in the closet. It probably would have been in my nightstand. Because I had fear. And it took some time to work through that. And among the things that I considered is that if I were to continue down that path with the twinge of guilt I feel about that, there's a good chance I'm going to get a test on that. So I went back to my very accommodating wife and I said, "Listen, time out. I don't have handgun information for you, but I got something else I got to talk to you about. I've got a little problem. I want the gun because I think they're neat. I'm intrigued with them. But I really want the gun, really, truly, for another reason. I have a motive problem. I have a spirit problem." And she looked at me. I remember her exact words, and she said, "You better figure that out. Because if you think that gun is going to protect you, and that's the reason you want it, do you think that God really can't intervene and take care of all of us? And do you think that if you do that, and that is something you do and it's not faith, do you think that might be a test that will come in?" And I said, "Yes." So I left it. And before anybody gets an overly pious impression of me from that story, I still really want a handgun. But I have now come to the conclusion that if I get a handgun, it will be put where all the other weapons are. I don't need that for protection. I have come to grips with the fact that my and my family's personal safety is all of the Lord. Someone else may think differently, and I want to be quick to add, some people in this room may be put in positions where it would be legitimate to have things like that. I'm not critical of that at all. In fact, if you believe that and you have a good conscience about that and your motives and your intentions are pure, I don't believe that the Lord has any negative thought or view of that whatsoever. But it's a matter of the heart. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit more. I know we have a short amount of time. There's a couple more verses I'm going to cruise to. Daniel chapter 5, and you're going to ask, why are we going to Daniel? Well, this ties into what I have enjoyed about speaking about attitude and spirit and motive. Verse 12. Just the first part of the verse, speaking about Daniel. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Chapter 6. Scripture repeats itself. We all know that means it's important. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Would you like to be friends with someone who has an excellent spirit? I do. I want to be friends with people who have the right spirit and the right motive. And if they look a little different, I hope I can see past that and recognize what's happening in their heart, because that's going to be so much more important. Somebody could very logically ask the question, well, you had this little episode with the handgun, so how do you go about discerning something like that? If you're a young person and you haven't been put into lots of tough or difficult situations, how do you figure out what your heart is telling you? Because we all know that our hearts are, the old man is wicked. We have, if you've been saved, you have new man, you have a new mind, you have new life. How do you discern which one these signals are coming from? Those are legitimate questions. You've been given, if you are saved, you have been given so many resources that will show you. Fictitious story now. You just got a new job at a company that does things differently than any organization you have ever seen. You're going to be employee 7505, and in this company, you have an opportunity you've never had anywhere else. And instead of training you like normal companies do for something that's technically advanced, they have two ways to get you the material. They have what we call old school three-ring binder. It's going to give you some of the basic things. And when you start, you can open the binder, you can read it, and you can see some basic things that are happening. Now we're going to go a little bit futuristic. They're going to give you a chip, and they're going to talk you through all the creepy aspects of it. And they're going to give you a chip that's going to interface with their AI, with their artificial intelligence. And they're going to put it in right underneath underneath the skin of your wrist. And they're going to say, when you are working at our computer and your mind is focused on the things that have to do with productivity at work, that chip will interface with what's happening in your mind, and it will direct you on decisions and strategy and technical things that we want you to do really well at this company. If you were talked through the creepy part of that, you would say, I'm all over it because this is a better opportunity than I can get anywhere else. You'd love it. So you get to work the first day and you fill out all your paperwork and you're officially 7505. You open your little book and you say, wow, this is amazing. I have never seen a company put together a binder like this that shows me all this stuff. So you're immediately impressed by that. You start working, you log in, and you think, you know, my first days, I'm going to have no productivity whatsoever. I have no clue what I'm doing. Like, I'm going to need time to just figure this out. You turn your little interface with your chip on, and all of a sudden you realize that the AI is the real deal. You're thinking about stuff, but you're way more clear-minded than you realize you were, and your productivity is just like up and going. You'd say, well, that's phenomenal. So a couple days go by and you continue to, you do the same thing. You come into your desk and you sit there and you log in and AI is working and the binder's working. Maybe you're getting toward the back end of it. 3-4 days go by, everything's great. Fourth or fifth day you come in and you say, you know what? I think the book is good, but I don't really need the AI chip. So I'm not going to interface with that today. I'm not going to turn that on. One of your coworkers comes back and they're looking at your live screen and you're talking about a couple things and he says to you, what's the deal with you? Your chip's not on. Yeah, you know what? I don't really need that. Like, I get it. Like, it helped me a lot, but I don't need that anymore. I'm good now. Okay. He's probably astonished. He's thinking, well, how are you getting anything done in our company? You have resources you're not using. Next day he comes back and you're just like working around on your computer and he says, your chip's not on, your book's not open. Like, how do you have a clue? You're new here. How do you know what's going on? And you say, no, I don't need that stuff. I got this figured out now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 3. Another question. This one mostly rhetorical. Excuse me. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? What has more power? That AI chip I was talking about that doesn't quite exist yet, or the Spirit of God? We have other verses that talks about the Spirit of God being with us. What does this verse say? It's in us. How much of the resources you have are you using? Well, your question might be, well, this AI chip you're fantasizing about can do all these other things. What can the Spirit do for me? The Spirit can do so much more for you than you probably realize. Go back to chapter 2. Last part of verse 10. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, okay. Our question when we came to this was, what are we doing about this discernment issue we have? We're young. We got water. We're going through water we've never navigated before. So how do we figure this out? There's no special talent to this. It's so simple. If you got saved, you already have it. Well, what about this manual you're talking about? We've read this verse several times now, and I'll just quote part of it from Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the part that I really want to notice is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Really, in a much better way, you are employee 7505. With a manual like you've never seen and a chip that doesn't exist. It's up to you. Are you going to use those resources? They are there. And when you have those fears and you have those concerns and you're wondering, should I major in this and should I do that? And what if I, like, what's the deal with that guy? And what's the deal with that girl? And how do I figure all this stuff out? And I think maybe I need to buy some land and I think maybe I want to build a house and what should you do with all those questions? What should you do with the more difficult questions about, okay, I got saved, and my parents go to meeting, and they break bread, but I'm kind of young, like, should I break bread? And they're telling me I should, but I'm like, I don't think I should. How do you answer tough questions like that? We all have the same resources. And if you've been saved, you have those resources. The Word of God has so many answers for us. And on a practical note, I heard somebody say this a while ago, and I've really enjoyed it myself. In my own reading, I have enjoyed going through the book of Proverbs. And just read the proverb for the calendar day. If you skip a day, it's okay. Just go to the next one. But consider the amount of wisdom that is there. Aside from what we can understand of God's love for us and what He's done for us, because we don't get that in Proverbs, but knowledge for daily decisions and things that need to be done, it is a humongous resource. And sometimes we have to sit there, and I need to do this, maybe others don't, but sometimes I have to read something, I got to let it soak for a little bit. It's okay, let it soak for a little bit. Sometimes you're going to read it, and you're going to say, just not feeling it today, like, I don't know about this. Don't stop reading it. Just keep right on going. One more verse. Isaiah 26. We read about a carnal mind. And we're going to read about what we have with a different kind of mind. If you've been saved, you have a new mind. What does that give you? Not uncertainty, Fear, it's the opposite of all those things that we worry about as young people. 26 verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, what kind of a mind is that? That's your mind if you're saved. That's your new man, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And the part I really enjoy this is sometimes we say, well, I had peace about that, and then this happened, and I didn't feel good about that. Is that perfect peace? Can we have it all the time? Yes, we can. The resources are there. The tough decisions you face, the resources are there. And I would always suggest that if you are struggling with what you have from the Spirit, if you're listening to the Spirit, and if you have unanswered questions after reading the Word, you can almost always find a trusted advisor, somebody who you believe will give you the answer you need to hear, not the answer you want to hear. Because when we talk about things like perfect peace, these are not achieved by just floating along and saying, I'm going to absorb all the resources that God has given me, and I'm going to make bad decisions as I go, and I'm going to take the path of least resistance. This is not the path of least resistance. It's a path that requires vigilance. I don't want to underestimate the amount of energy and work that goes into that, but young people have lots of energy. Sometimes I think we need to use more energy and not think about the resources we already have. The resources are there. Use them. The perfect peace is available for you. Let's close. Our God and our Father, we're thankful now for this privilege we had together and for the refreshments too, for the nourishment for our bodies. We give thanks for that. We ask a blessing on it. We ask that the rest of the fellowship this evening could be encouraging as we pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.